Welcome back to Faded Tales. This is the podcast where we bring the world's endangered animals into the spotlight. I'm your host, Zoya, and today we're peeling back the layers of mystery surrounding one of the nature's most unique creatures, the pangolin. It's also known as the artichoke with legs. These scaly mammals might look something from a fantasy book, but their real-life story is both fascinating and heartbreaking. So grab a cup of tea, get cozy, and let's dive into the world of the pangolin. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Today marks the first episode of the new year. It's Zoya. I've already told you that in the intro, but whatever. Today, how are you guys? Well, I am tired because the cold weather has been affecting me a lot lately. So this episode might be shorter than I would like, but it's okay because we all need a break sometimes. So let's get into the story of the magnificent pangolin. I learned about this animal many years ago, I think, when I was watching something that you guys might know of, Zabumafu, all of our favorite childhood animal shows with the Crab Brothers. So let's, if you're not familiar with it, let's imagine this. You guys are walking through the forest, and in the overgrowth, you see a creature that seems to be part reptile, part mammal. It has scales that glisten in the sunlight. As you approach, it curls into a perfect ball, tucking its long tail over its face like a knight shielding itself from danger. This animal is the pangolin, everyone. This is the world's only scaled mammal. Pangolins are found in parts of Asia and Africa, with 8 species across these continents. Their scales are made from keratin. It's the same protein that makes up our hair and nails. That's pretty much their armor. The scales is their armor. These scales serve as like an extraordinary defense mechanism against predators. When threatened, a pangolin's first instinct is to roll into a tight ball, making it nearly impossible for most predators to harm them. But this natural defense is also their Achilles heel. Their scales have made them a target for one of the largest illegal wildlife trades in the world. Let's talk about their diet before we get into any of that. Their diet is where the pangolin's little quirky charm starts to really shine. Pangolins are insectivores, meaning their diet consists mostly of ants and termites. With their long, sticky tongues, which can extend longer than their bodies, by the way, they scoop up insects from deep within nests and burrows. These tongues are coated with a glue-like saliva that ensures the insects stick securely during each sweep. Wow, that was a tongue twister. Actually, there's a little fun fact for you guys. A single pangolin can eat up to 70 million insects a year. That's like having all-you-can-eat buffet every night. And talk about pest control, because, like, how many of us don't like ants? So, do you know how they manage to break into these insect homes? Their front legs are equipped with powerful claws, strong enough to rip open even the toughest anthills and termite mounds. These claws also double as defense tools, capable of warding off potential threats. Once the insects are exposed, the pangolin's tongue goes to work, scooping up the prey with remarkable speed and precision. Interestingly, their eyes and nostrils can close tightly, protecting them from biting ants while they feast. Their specialized stomachs are another marvel of adaptation. Unlike most mammals, pangolins lack teeth. Instead of their stomachs contain keratinous spines and strong muscles that act like a natural grinder, mashing insects into the paste that they can digest. This, combined with the small pebbles that they sometimes swallow, ensures that their tough insect-based diet is effectively digested. It's a bright evolved system, making pangolins expert foragers, perfectly suited for their niche in their ecosystem. Pangolins play a crucial role in the environment. By consuming massive amounts of ants and termites, sometimes thousands in a single night, they help maintain the natural balance. These insects, if left unchecked, could overpopulate and cause significant damage to the crops and trees, leading to soil degradation and loss of biodiversity. By controlling these pest populations, pangolins indirectly support the health of the forest and agricultural lands. Their ecological contributions is invaluable, making pangolins a keystone species in the environments they inhabit. If you guys don't know what a keystone species is, it's kind of like a specific species that helps keep the environment safe for everyone. Kind of like the wildebeest in Africa? Or I don't remember what they're called. But you know, there's like there's a large herd of like horned beasts. There's a large herd of horned beasts. Like it was like so many. And because their numbers, they have so much numbers, they're able to feed the ecosystem. It's kind of like a keystone species there. And I think buffalo are also keystone species, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, keystone species is just some animal that helps keep the environment safe for everyone. So after all of that, let's dive into their unique behavior. Pangolins are mostly nocturnal and solitary creatures, preferring the quiet cover at night to forage for food. During the day, they rest in burrows and hollow trees, which they either dig themselves or repurpose from another animal. Their movements are slow and deliberate, often resembling a careful, methodical shuffle. To navigate tricky terrain, they use their prehensile tails for balance and support, gripping branches or stabilizing themselves on even uneven ground. When walking, some pangolins curl their front claws inwards, walking on their knuckles to protect those powerful tools from wear and tear. Pangolins are also famously shy and elusive. Their natural camouflage and nocturnal habits make spotting one in the wild a rare and treasured experience, even for seasoned conservationists. It's really tough. This combination of secrecy and uniqueness only adds to the mystique of the pangolin, making them one of the nature's most intriguing creatures. Sadly, this uniqueness has come at like a devastating cost, man. Pangolins are officially the most trafficked mammal in the world. Their scales are highly sought after in traditional medicine, particularly in parts of Asia, where they are wrongly believed to possess healing properties for ailments like arthritis and inflammation. Despite the lack of scientific evidence to back these claims, demand for pangolin scales continues to thrive. Some cultures, pangolin meat is also considered a rare delicacy and expensive, symbolizing status and wealth. These cultures' pressures, combined with widespread habitat loss due to deforestation and urbanization, have pushed all 8 species of the pangolins precariously close to extinction. This is the part where I hate about like endangered animals, because some of the reason that they're endangered are so stupid. Like, why are we like this sometimes? Why do you think, with scientific facts, that the scales have medical properties when they're just made of keratin, the same property that makes up our nails and hair? If you want something that bad, just eat your own nails or hair. Like, come on people, like, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with our species? Why do we do this? Why do we think that this is the right way to go? Why? That's one of the reasons that I want to make this, like, these animals known and send out the message, because sometimes the thing is stupid. Yeah, it's like very stupid. Anyway, back to my script. It is estimated that over 1 million pangolins were trafficked in the last decade alone. That's an average of 1 pangolin poached every 5 minutes. In some areas, entire populations have been eradicated, leaving behind ecological voids and that disrupts local systems. The scale of this illegal trade is staggering. Numbers paint a grim picture of the challenges these creatures face. It's heartbreaking reality that just underscores just how urgent and necessary that their conservation is. Efforts to protect penguins have been growing, though, steadily over the years, I guess. In 2016, the international trade of penguins was officially banned under the Convention of International Trade in Endangered Species, or CITES. That's actually the law it's placed. This landmark decision marked a significant step forward in curbing the illegal trafficking of these animals. However, the road to success is far from smooth. Illegal poaching and smuggling still continue, driven by persistent demand and exorbitant prices their scales fetch on the black market. In many regions, weak enforcement of wildlife protection laws allows traffickers to operate with relative impunity. Yet, amidst the challenges, there is a silver lining. Organizations like the Penguin Conservation Network, Save Penguins, and the African Penguin Working Group are leading the charge in the fight to save these remarkable creatures. These groups are not only rescuing penguins, but also raising global awareness and lobbying for stricter enforcement measures to decimate wildlife trafficking networks. Encouragingly, some countries have also stepped in implementing harsher penalties for poaching and investing in anti-trafficking technology to monitor and intercept illegal activity. Furthermore, initiative approaches are being explored to aid conservation efforts. For instance, genetic trafficking methods are now being used to trace and seize penguin scales back to their source populations, providing official data for targeting high-risk areas. Community-based programs are also fostering local involvement, emphasizing the value of protecting penguins as part of a sustainable ecosystem. Together, these efforts are sowing the seeds of hope in the future of fascinating creatures. There's another promising conservation effort that is kind of in the works, I think. It's actually detection dogs, penguin detection dogs, surprisingly. Their specially trained canines help track down penguins in the wild, allowing researchers to monitor populations and rescue animals from trafficking. Additionally, rehabilitation centers have been established to care for penguins that have been rescued from the illegal trade. These centers work to nurse the animal back to health, and whenever possible, release them back into the wild. Community involvement is also key. In many regions, local communities are being educated again. Programs promote sustainable livelihoods such as ecotourism or alternative farming practices help reduce the reliance of poaching as a source of income. So how can we as people who have no part in it, how can we help these armored wonders? For starters, spreading the word is key. I always say spread the word about every animal. Many people have never heard of penguins, let alone their plight. Sharing the story, like we're doing right now, helps bring their attention to their situation. Supporting reputable conservation organizations all through donations or volunteer work is another way that you can make a difference. And of course, being mindful of the products we buy and their impact on wildlife. Before we wrap up, let me share a personal thought. Penguins remind me that even the smallest creatures can have monumental impact on our planet. They teach us the importance of balance and coexistence. By protecting them, we are not just saving species, we are preserving the delicate web of life that sustains us all. Well, this is the end of the podcast. I told you it was going to be a shorter one because I didn't have the time. I didn't have the time to write the script because I totally forgot. To be honest, I totally forgot that I that this is like something that I'm doing right now. It's like, it's amazing that like I'm still like doing this like for so long. It's like I've been trying to like focus on our studies as well. So yeah, I'm gonna try and make a longer episode next time for you guys. So hopefully I'll have it prepared by next week. So that's it for today's episode of Faded Tales. Thank you so much for joining me in celebrating and protecting these incredible creatures. If you enjoyed this episode, you guys can also listen back to the ones I've recorded in my first year of doing the podcast. It's all on the Radio Laurie website. You guys can see it. And don't forget to share it with your friends as well. And don't forget, together we can make a difference. And as always, stay curious, stay compassionate, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.